You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Joining online now is Eamon Waterford, the Policy Director of Youth Action. Eamon, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And you were saying that we seem to be getting it wrong when it comes to educating young people about responsible drinking.
Yeah, so we sort of have this idea that we can somehow stop young people under the age of 18 from drinking, because they shouldn't be, because it's illegal to drink when you're under 18. But the reality is that the stats are showing that, of course, underage kids are drinking. And when they do drink, they're drinking really unsafely. They're drinking a lot, and they're doing it in really, really unsafe spaces. So in dark parks, without sort of any supervision. So what we're really wanting to see is an improvement to the education that young people get, so that if they are going to drink, and not that we want them to, but if they are going to, that they do it in a safe and responsible way.
And every year it seems there's some sort of debate reignited about increasing the age up to 21, but from what you're saying, that would be the wrong solution.
Well, I'm not sure it would actually make that much difference. The reality is, although, of course, the age is 18 now, we know that more than half of young men, aged 15 to 17, so under the age of drinking, are drinking on a regular basis. And when they drink five drinks or more in a session. So they're binge drinking. And these are underage kids. So the idea that if we increase the drinking age, we're somehow going to stop these kids from drinking is just not borne by the statistics. The evidence says it won't make a difference.
And binge drinking, obviously, is not very good for young people, even more so than adults, because I imagine the brains are still developing and that sort of thing. And, you know, the relationship between alcohol and brain cells?
Well, that's right. I mean, look, binge drinking is not good for anybody, and health experts have been telling us for a while. But you're right, it's even worse for young people, as the brain is still plasticity, still growing. They're still going through that sort of growing phase. And so binge drinking is really, really bad for young people. But what we can do is, if we provide some education for these young people, we can be showing them that there are alternatives, rather than just either do not drink at all or go and do whatever you like. So our idea is that, rather than having a just say no approach, a total approach that says you must not drink, which obviously is still leading to young people drink, we say to them, well, look, if you are going to drink, make sure you have a glass of water between each drink you have. If you are going to drink, maybe have a couple of mid-strength beers instead of downing a bottle of vodka in a park. If you are going to drink, make sure you look after your friends. Don't get behind the wheel of the car after you've been drinking. These sorts of harm minimization messages that are going to seriously reduce the risk that young people are at.
Is there evidence to show that when you do put out these harm minimization messages that they are working?
Absolutely. So harm minimization as an approach is used a little bit in Australia, and it's used a lot overseas, across Europe and in quite a bit of the US. The harm minimization approach absolutely reduces the risk that young people get into. It reduces drink driving, it reduces alcohol-fueled violence, it reduces the long-term health risks of binge drinking. But critically, what they found is that the harm minimization message is actually not increasing the number of young people that are drinking. So this is typically the argument against harm minimization is, well, if we let young people think it's okay for them to drink, or not quite as serious as we say with a, you know, absolutely just say no message, then more of them will go and take up alcohol. And the reality is that the evidence has shown that that's not actually happening, that actually not any more young people are taking up drinking. And that's a really good sign. It means we can be safer and reduce drinking and not see more young people pick up drinking all in the same go.
So does the evidence say that just saying no incites more people to want to actually do it, because, you know, they say no, so therefore they'll just go ahead and do it anyway?
Well, young people are risk-taking at heart. I mean, that's just part of growing up, is you want to take risks, you want to push boundaries. So it's really important that we give them safe spaces to take risks, risks that aren't going to, you know, end their life, or risks that aren't going to put them in serious harm. And so this huge spate of alcohol-fueled violence we've seen across the country is obviously a great example of really unsafe risks. So if we could reduce the risky behaviour, it will give young people a better understanding of what constitutes an acceptable risk and an unacceptable one. We could absolutely see a reduction in the harms caused by alcohol to our society. I suppose a good analogy is in many, many years ago, we had a just say no approach to sex education, and we saw a huge explosion in terms of teen pregnancy and unsafe sex. And so when we moved to a harm minimization approach to say to young people, look, you probably shouldn't be having sex, you're probably not mature enough, but if you are going to, be safe about it, make sure that you're being responsible and reasonable about it, and that's led to much better outcomes in terms of safe sex. And so I think that sort of idea is an absolute no-brainer when it comes to alcohol as well.
And why is it that rather than just picking up one glass of wine or having one beer, that they're actually going all out and binge drinking?
Well, it's because it's cool, really, because when you're a young person, you want to get drunk with your mates and you want to impress people, you want to drink more than other people. But I guess young people just don't really have a concept of what that's going to do to their body. And it means that rather than taking a risk that, say, would be manageable or a risk that they could survive, they're taking this really unsafe risk. The other problem we're seeing is that young people have a really poor idea of how to look after their friends. So let's say their friend has decided to down half a bottle of vodka and is in a really bad way. Young people have really poor understanding of what to do when their friend's in that sort of situation. They're worried they'll get in trouble with their parents, so they're not calling ambulances. They're worried that the ambulance might cost too much, so they're not calling ambulances. And they're not knowing how to look after their friend, thinking, oh, well, if I put him to bed, he'll probably be all right, when that could be a really unsafe thing to do, and actually, there are much better alternatives. So this sort of education on how to look after your mates if they've had a few too many is really, really vital, probably for all Australians, but particularly for young people.
Yeah, well, I might just ask you about the appropriate or how you would actually look after someone in just a moment. But I guess the question that I would have is, if you're saying that people are going out there to try and deliberately get drunk and they are binge drinking for that reason, would they be concerned that using some of these harm minimization strategies, like having a glass of water or only having light beer, for example, would they be concerned that they wouldn't be able to get drunk? And if that's their end goal, then perhaps they're not going to tune in.
Well, there's certainly an element of that. I mean, we can't deny the fact that young people often drink because they want to get drunk. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why young people drink. But there's a difference between being drunk off 4 or 5 drinks and being drunk off 20 or 15 drinks. So it's not necessarily about saying to the young person, look, we absolutely don't think you should get drunk, although we certainly don't. It's about saying, look, if you are going to get drunk, maybe take it easy. Once you're feeling the effects of the alcohol, take it slow. Only have another drink every half hour. See how you feel. Don't get yourself completely trolleyed and over the edge, and all of a sudden you're vomiting, throwing up, and you're feeling really ill.
And the other thing that I remember from growing up just a few years ago was that when an ambulance is called, I think they're now saying that the police won't automatically be called at the same time or something along those lines. So in other words, they won't be incriminated by calling for help.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a huge misconception that a lot of young people hold, which is that they don't want to call the ambulance because they're worried they'll get in trouble from the cops. And the reality is the ambulance is only there to help people in health issues, and they absolutely will not call the cops if there's not a risk to the ambulance drivers or a risk to someone else's life. So the idea that you'll get in trouble with the cops is not true, and that's a message we need to be spreading across to many young people.
And you're saying that the right move is not to put someone to bed or something like that. So what's the most appropriate way to deal with someone that has been affected by alcohol?
Well, I'll say I'm not an expert on this sort of stuff, but there are a couple of very simple tips that a person can use. So the typical misconception we have is that if you feed a person who's had a lot to drink a lot of water, if you keep getting them to scull glass after glass of water, and that's going to be good in terms of sobering them up. That is not true, and that's actually really, really dangerous to drink that much water. The best thing you can do is you can get your friend to sit in a chair, not lie down, but sit in a chair and have them sip a glass of water every half hour or so. And that way you can monitor them, you can make sure they're doing all right. They're not going to pass out and swallow their tongue. They're also going to be having a little bit of water, which is going to help them sober up and feel a little bit better, but not so much that they all of a sudden have litres and litres of water in their stomach, which is just going to throw up again. So that's a classic one. That's a very big misconception, is that people think they need to drink heaps of water. The story couldn't be further from that.
I guess lying down, they could choke on their own vomit.
Well, that's right as well. And, you know, look, there's poor supervision at a party normally, but when you've had a few and you're trying to supervise your friend, it can be even harder. So the reality is, if you can get them into a situation that makes it easier to supervise your friend who's a bit out of it, so if they're sitting up, it also means that you can immediately tell if they're getting worse because they won't be able to sit up for much longer. But also, yeah, lying down is not a great outcome in terms of they could sort of pass out, swallow vomit, these sorts of things.
And from what I understand, you can't sober someone up with water, only time.
Yeah, that's right. Time's the only thing that's going to sober people up. You can't use burnt toast, you can't use water, you can't use coffee. There's no magic bullet to sobering somebody up. But you can take simple steps that are going to reduce the harm that they could come to whilst they're still drunk. So things like looking after your mates is really, really important. And that's actually one of the ways that the schools have found of being really, really successful in terms of getting through to young people. It's hard to get through to a young person and say, look, you are irresponsible, because most young people think they're invincible. They sort of think, look, I'm untouchable, I'm all right, I don't need any of your advice. But every young person has got a friend who's a bit of an idiot. So if you say to them, look, we don't want to talk about you, we want to talk about a friend of yours that's a bit loose, who gets a little bit crazy, and we want to teach you some techniques on how do you look after that person. And everyone all of a sudden is like, ah, I'm listening, I know that guy, that guy's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. We might all know that guy, unfortunately. So going forward, I mean, how widespread is it to just say that we're saying just say no, and how do you actually change how education is delivered?
Well, there's a couple of ways we do it. So there's already some great programs out there. There's lots of NGOs that are running these sorts of programs, and they go into schools to run the programs with particular schools. But if we want to see widespread change, and really the education system's the best way for that to happen, because it means you capture every single young person, they're all at school. So we need to see a change in the curriculum. The school curriculum in each of the states and territories in Australia has to have included in it these harm minimisation messages. It does have some space in the curriculum already for talking about drugs and alcohol, but generally it's just a just say no message. They're only told, don't do these things, they're really bad for you, the end. And so we need to change those messages in curriculums, and that means state by state, territory by territory, Australia's curriculum needs to change to update its message to what the evidence says is going to be most effective.
Well, Eamon, it's been a fascinating conversation. I thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot, mate. Have a good one.
Thank you very much, Eamon Waterford there, the Policy Director of Youth Action.